I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom. As we open your word, Father, help us to see you for who you are. See ourselves, Father, as who we are, Lord. Again, we just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to start in Genesis this morning. Start in the very first chapter, verse 1. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. The earth was invisible and unfinished, and darkness was over the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light, it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning, one day. Then it goes on here and it tells about how each day that he created something different. And I think one thing that it's well for us to remind ourselves that, you know, out of whatever there was, nothing in the world, God spoke and this came into being. I mean, a lot of times we take that for granted. We believe it. We say we do, but sometimes I wonder if we really do believe it. You know, so many people profess that they believe God. They profess that they believe that Jesus came into the world, but so few people actually believe it to the point where it actually has an effect on their life. There's a lot of people believe in that God created all things. But you know, does it really affect our lives? God spoke all of this into being. He spoke us into being. Who we are is just a gift. It's just a short span that we're here in this world. Do we really believe that this life that we have, this existence that we have in this world is from God? That it all is just granted to us from God. Like I said, we all, God created us. But it's just like someone, you know, that's grown up being taught something all their life, and then one day they really realize what they were taught is true. What they were taught begins to affect their life. And I just wanted to remind us of that this morning, that the life, the existence that we have in this world is a gift. It's not ours. It's just here for a little while because God gave it to us. And we live our life in this world that God created. We breathe, we eat, we drink, we partake of all the things in this world that are around us that God has created. And I think that's one of the things that we get away from that. You know, there's people that live in this world that don't know where food comes from or wouldn't know the first thing about how to grow it or prepare it or anything. It's just all shows up in a store one day and they go buy it with someone else's money. They hardly know anything about anything. They didn't know. And the further we get away from just the natural, the simple, our tendency is just to forget God, forget all about him. There's people that live in cities and things like that that would say they believe in God, but how does it really affect their life? Do they realize the simplicity that he has for us? And I think, like I said, we forget that ourselves. We profess it. We all come from God. We sing about God creating all things. But do we see ourselves in that as we're supposed to? That our life is not our own. It's just a gift that God has given us, and a time that he's given us to prepare ourselves to become more like him or get more in tune with him in this world. I want to turn over to chapter 3, verse 8. This is after Eve has partaken of the fruit, given it to her husband. It says, "Then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden that afternoon. And Adam and his wife hid themselves within the tree in the middle of the garden from the presence of the Lord God." What's happened now is that man has sinned against God, and there's something that's entered into the world that is completely strange, completely different. Instead of the created longing to be in the presence of God, longing to be in his presence, they said that before this all happened that Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the garden. They were together. They were friends. They knew that they were the created and that he was the creator. But then this thing that happened came into the world. This thing called guilt. You know, guilt is something that is often, we don't give it a lot of thought sometimes. You know, we just say, oh, they're guilty. But you know, it is amazing how powerful this thing called guilt is and how much it affects this world that's fallen. It is probably one of the things that drive almost everything that's apart from God. Guilt. People trying to find a way to compensate their lives, trying to find something that will fill that gap or just quiet that guilt that is in their ears. Here, Adam and Eve, whenever they were in the garden, they heard the voice of God in the garden, coming to visit them, coming to have fellowship with them like he always had. And they didn't want that anymore. They went and hid, because they didn't want to be around him. You know, that's one of the things that guilt does. It drives us. Instead of driving us to God, most of the time it drives us away from him. We run from him. You know, we see that in children. You know, they do something wrong, and boy, they want to hide. They don't want to be around that thing called guilt that gets into their minds. And instead of thinking straight, they start thinking bent. They start thinking crooked. Instead of running to the help, they start to hide from it and run from it. That's one of the things that guilt does. It puts our minds where we don't think straight. That's one of the gifts that God has given to fallen man. When he offers us wisdom, a sound mind, a mind that thinks straight. That instead of running and hiding whenever we've done something wrong, we turn the other way and we run to our helper and our friend, instead of running away from Him. These people, Adam and Eve, they went and hid in the midst of the garden. What caused that? Guilt. That's our first response, usually, is to hide. You know, and it's not just because we did one thing wrong or this. We're not just perfect. It's because of, it's deep in us. It becomes a part of the human being. It goes past the body and reaches into our souls. That's who we really are. It's who our souls are. You know, we're made up of, we're a body, and we're a soul, and we're a spirit. Our soul is who we actually are. Our body is just a vessel. You know, we look at ourselves and we think of ourselves, and most of our attention is about this body, trying to preserve it, trying to protect it, trying to save it. And our focus is all about that body, because our souls are not where they're supposed to be. They're tainted. They're bent. And so our hope is not in the right place. Our hope and our direction is not where it's supposed to be. It's all messed up. Because we're not a soul first, we're a body first. That's what the world seeks after. They seek after being a body first instead of being a soul first. When we're a soul and we've listened to the Spirit, and the Spirit of God that's brought us back to what we're supposed to be, we can have rest and we can have peace. We sing about these songs that about having peace and rest. That is it well with our soul? It's where the very seat of who we are is our soul, not our body. And we get those things mixed up so bad. One of the reasons for that is guilt. So whenever guilt and sin is entered into this world and into our lives, we lose focus on what we're supposed to be focusing on. And we start trying to amend and work with the things that we're not supposed to be focused on. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden that afternoon, and Adam and his wife hid themselves within the tree in the middle of the garden from the presence of the Lord. Where did they run to? This says that they went and hid themselves in the very tree that they weren't supposed to partake of. That's where they found refuge. You know, it's amazing how often that instead of running away from that, you would think that if that was a dangerous thing and that's what separated from God, they'd run away from that thing. Because that's what caused them to separate. That's where they went to hide. In the very thing. And we see that, people, whenever they've fallen into a sin, they've opened doors they shouldn't, that's where they begin to find their refuge. They hide from God in the very thing that separated them from God. And that's why I think where addictions and habits and all those things come in, because the guilt of going where they weren't supposed to go or doing what they weren't supposed to do, instead of turning to God, they find their refuge in that thing that they shouldn't. So the Lord God called Adam and said to him, "Adam, where are you?" He replied, "I heard your voice as you were walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." He realized, he felt the presence of God, and God saw him for what he really was, and he hid himself. And he said, "Who said that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" Then Adam said, "The woman you gave me of the tree, and I ate." here's the next step. The next thing that's so common whenever we're found guilty or naked as this, we were exposed. Well, the woman that you gave me, we start to blame someone else. We see these traits all over us, all around us. You know, we fall into sin. Guilt drives us away from God, and then when we're confronted with it, what's the first thing we do? You know, we think that he's blaming the woman here. That he said, the woman that you gave me. Who's he really blaming here? He's blaming God himself for putting him in this place. That's what guilt does. Guilt diverts whenever God seeks after us. Guilt turns our hearts away from what would help us and begins to accuse and blame God for the condition we're in. We're blaming God for the state that I've found my polluted soul in. It's God's fault. It's your fault, God, for putting me here. It's your fault, God, for making me do these things. The thing that you gave me is what caused me to do this. We begin to blame others instead of seeking God for ourselves. Then Adam said, the woman you gave me of the tree, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. See, all this is somebody else's fault. Instead of coming clean, you know, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. You know, it's one thing to say that we've done something wrong, but to confess is to acknowledge, to get to the very place that it was me. It was me that caused the problem. Wasn't your fault, God. It wasn't somebody else's fault. Wasn't my wife's fault. It wasn't anybody else's fault. It was me. That's what confession is. We see this, these characteristics. We see them in children. You know, as soon as we catch them red-handed, after they've tried to hide from it, we see it. And the first thing they do is, well, it was my brother's fault. He made me do this. Or they start blaming and making excuses. And that's the way the world operates. It says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Then we begin to blame the devil. Well, we might be getting closer to the problem, but we're not getting closer to the solution. See, we can blame the devil for all our problems. We can blame sin. We can blame the world for all of it. And in part, you're getting righter, but that's not the solution. Taking responsibility for ourselves is the solution. We take ourselves so seriously that when we fail, we just think we couldn't have failed. We're better than that. We're more important than that. So when we fail, we begin to blame somebody else because it couldn't be us. And that's where humility comes in. And that's what's so hard to accept and that realize that I am nothing. My life is a gift. And I've messed that up. And so to humble ourselves and just come to the Lord. Come to ourselves. And acknowledge who we really are. And accept that responsibility for ourselves. Then the Lord cursed the serpent. And then he cursed the woman and he cursed the man. He put the curses upon something that made it harder for us to deal with. And man has complained and blamed God for those things as well. Now we have all those situations around us that are affecting our lives, and we complain about it. We make the life the curse. We begin to complain about those things. That's why it's important to find that rest, find that peace in God's creation, that He created us, and that it's not His fault. And the circumstances that are around us are not His fault. Death entered into the world, and it's not His fault. How many times have you heard people that were angry and bitter at God because someone died that they loved? It's not God's fault. And just blaming God for all the things that are going around us is just being a part, just following after the pattern that Adam and Eve set in the Garden of Eden. Guilt. You know, getting to that place where God created me and I'm just dwelling in this world, in His world, using His time, finding that rest and that peace in all of that. We get so caught up in trying to protect ourselves, trying to save ourselves, trying to preserve the things that we have in this world, trying to better our situations, thinking that that will make us happy. But that's not where happiness comes from. That's not where peace comes from. And that's not where joy comes from. In 1 John, John chapter 1, it says, that which grows from the beginning, which we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes and have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus walking in the Garden of Eden, having fellowship with Adam and Eve. They came in the evening and they fellowshiped together. That's what this is talking about. That our fellowship with God can be restored. And it says, these things write we so that our joy may be made complete. These are things we know. It's nothing new but what we're talking about. But it's the actuality, the actual obtaining that God created the heavens and the earth. And He created them so that He could fellowship with us. That we could be what He wanted us to be. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. He'd manifest Himself to the world, and the world rejected Him. We try so many ways to find happiness and rest and peace. We try to fix this problem. We try to fix that problem. We think that this thing will give us happiness or that thing will give us happiness. And all the while still saying that Jesus is who gives us happiness. And then we spend our life trying to fill it with something else. Finding our happiness in who we are. In our fellowship with Jesus. We can add other things to that later. But those things so quickly overtake us and we lose sight of who we are. And we're back on that trail of trying to make ourselves happy with something else. Finding our happiness in who we are and who we were created to be. That center of our soul that can have fellowship with God. Not in our circumstances, not in our situation, not in our season of life, not in the things, not in the weather. All these things we live in and can enjoy and be blessed with. But that's not where our soul finds its rest. We work so hard to try to establish our security in this outside. And if we just find our security in the soul, that's why Jesus talked about that all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We let all these other things choke us and upset us and bring aggravation to us. And they don't need to. We get the soul right, and the body will just follow along. We spend so much time trying to get the body right, hoping we can find rest in our soul because our body's in the place that it ought to be, instead of just having our soul right. And our body will be where it's supposed to be. We just get things so out of order. The cart before the horse, things so backwards. When in reality, the simple. I mean, it's right there in the very first in creation. Man walked with God in the garden. And when he failed, instead of turning back to him, he ran from him. He hid from him. He blamed someone else. He tried to cover it all up. And at one point they went and tried to dress themselves up. The fig leaf is religion. That's the best attempt that man could ever have when his religion is nothing but one leaf trying to cover yourself. So much time is spent on religion. Trying to get ourselves back to God. The whole world goes after that. They cover themselves with that one little leaf that's so inadequate when God looks at it. But being clothed, having our souls united with God, walking with Him, then He just clothes us with everything we need. May the Lord add His blessings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's just such a neat thing. And if we can just get a hold of that, it's just such a blessing.
Brother Olin's assignment for this week was to bring something that we think the Lord is trying to teach us about the changing seasons. And I think something that we can learn is to be content. We've got a neighbor, man, that anytime the weather's a little bit extreme or just cold or hot, whatever. He's always complaining about it. And I think we need to just try to be more content and just find the good things in the seasons. And so that we can say like Paul did in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am."
I thought about how sometimes in winter when it gets really cold, we'll be wishing how it was summer. And then when it gets around to summer and it gets real hot, we'll be wishing it was winter again. And that made me think how it's often like that in our life. We think after something happens, things will be better. After we get something, things will be better. But we should really just be content and be thankful for the cold weather and just take the next step and make the best of each moment.
This morning I was thinking about winter, and I was thinking about how it's, you know, in summer you're really busy, you've got all these things going on, you don't have much time to think, and winter's just kind of a good time to just, you know, sit back and think about your life and stuff. It's kind of like symbolizing kind of like death, you know, right before spring, the resurrection.
I thought about how a lot of times, like in the summertime, you know, well, even with all the technology people have nowadays, like air condition and everything, in the summertime, everyone's, you know, trying hard not to work outside as much as they can, you know, they're getting their AC all working and everything, and in the wintertime, like, water lines are freezing and faucets and everything, and people, no matter what people do, they're always going to be, you know, in subjection, you know, underneath the seasons, the weather, and that just shows, you know, God, he just changes the seasons and everyone's hurrying to prepare, and, you know.
One thing I think we can learn from the changing seasons is that in the summertime when the grass is green and everything's nice and the grass, for example, for the cows, you just have plenty of it and everything's in plenty, and you kind of forget sometimes how the winter's coming and we need to be prepared, and that we can think about that in our life too, how the Lord is coming. We might have it pretty nice right now and we might forget, but the Lord is coming and we need to be prepared.
So we can learn is that I think God's trying to teach us that he's mighty and can change the weather in just a few days, and so we should be content with the weather today because tomorrow it could be completely different.
Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a point of time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven.
One thing that the changing seasons teach us is how God made the world to where it can be just perfect for us. It never gets too cold around here for us, or it never gets too hot. It's just always nice, even, and we should just be thankful if it gets a little bit cold, because it's not just terrible.
Earlier this week when it was super cold, I went to the barn, we had some frozen water pipes, and I was just kind of frustrated. I didn't prepare and keep all the doors closed or whatever. I was just going along with some of the other boys were saying I was just being content with what we have, and it's just amazing how, you know, the weather can be, you know, 9 degrees one day, and the next morning it can be 50 degrees. Just always be thankful what we got and be content.
Good morning, everybody. Beautiful morning this morning, not too cold for us. I've been thinking this week about, well, it being a new year, I was thinking all the things that I achieved last year and all the goals that I met, and, you know, thinking of all the things that I got done. And then I just started musing over it and just thinking about it. And I thought of this verse in Matthew 5, verse 36. Nor shall you make an oath over your head or by your head, for you cannot cause one hair to be black or white. And I just started thinking about that verse, and I thought, we can't even cause one of our hairs to be a different color. We don't even have the capability of that. It's all a gift from God. He chose to let us have all of our achievements that we had last year, or all of our goals that we were striving for and met. And really, we have very little control over whatever happens in our lives. And then I thought of the song, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one, see what God has done. And I've just been thinking about that He's done so much in our lives, and He's allowed all of these blessings to happen to us. And then I thought of what we have control over, is, I've heard David say that our only thing that we have control over is our personality or our attitude. And we just need to take the good and stuff, all the many blessings that He gives us, and just praise Him for it, give Him glory for it, because that's all we have control over. That's the only thing we can do. But sorry, I didn't have very much this morning, but that's just what I've been thinking about this week. It's just a real blessing how many gifts He's given us. We just need to be count them and thank Him for it. We've got a lot to be thankful for. But does anyone have any prayer requests or anything to add? Who's that?
Connie's granddaughter.
Okay, let's pray for her.
She did get a nice little kid.
Okay. All right, well, let's pray. Thank You, dear God, for this beautiful morning that You gave us this morning, and giving us all these many blessings, and keeping us safe through the last year. And just we ask You to help Connie's granddaughter, and thank You for her getting out of the hospital, and just please continue to heal her. And we ask You to open our ears this morning to hear Your words this morning, and just help us to glorify You in Your name. Amen.
Boyd lesson next Sunday. Find someone in the Bible that failed to be responsible for something and the consequences of the failure. I'm sure that was this.
We